Hello and welcome to the What If Podcast Christmas Special Holiday Bonanza. Hide your red Starbucks cups and put away your holiday trees because we're going full Christmas.
Oh, sweet Christmas.
As Jessica Jones would say. But actually, despite what that intro might tell you, I'm not actually a hardcore Christmaser. You know, I said happy holidays to people when I was a cashier at the Home Depot. And I was...
And did people start to fight you?
Yes, I was furious when people would indignantly say Merry Christmas back.
No, it's Christmas.
Yeah, guess what?
It's also holidays.
I said happy holidays. I wasn't wishing you ill will. Go put down your crucifix, you crazy zealot.
Yeah, that's cool. I say winter break. We don't have Christmas break. We have winter break.
Yeah, so you go celebrate winter.
Well, winter solstice. I think we go to school on, but whatever.
Little of this, little of that. So... Christmas, guys. This is our special Christmas bonus episode.
Sure is.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
You're just gonna drop this on us. favorite Christmas song. I want Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Is that a real song?
Yeah, it is.
I think you're just making.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Something.
Only a hippopotamus will do. I don't want no something. Rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really old song. They sing like that.
Like me too. Like the frog from Warner Brothers.
Mammy!
That's just racist.
Merry Christmas.
Mammy Christmas.
I don't really have favorite Christmas songs.
So. I like, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You by Billy Squire. If only because they don't overplay that to death on the radio. That's a good one. And the...
Nightmare Before Christmas songs.
Oh, yeah. This is Halloween? I think that's...
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas songs.
By the Eagles there. Bells will be ringing. Yeah, please come home for Christmas.
I do like some Train to Siberian.
Uh-huh. Thanks a lot, Caitlyn Jenner. I remember it was just the regular Siberian Orchestra.
Oh. Have you heard August Burns Red?
No.
It's a Christmas album?
No.
It's pretty awesome.
Didn't I buy you a green seed or a record? Did I just keep it for myself?
I don't have one.
I do have a couple of Bob Rivers. He's like the Weird Al, but just for Christmas. Very specific. But yeah, good. It's like chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Open fire, and it has like Alvin and the chipmunks dying.
So classic. Nice. Bob Ross or
Santa
whatever
Claus
you said.
Bob Ross.
Happy little trees.
Happy little trees for Christmas. Just put a little snow in there. You just get some titanium wet. Put it under a knife. Scrape it down. I was watching some Joy painting on YouTube. It's very common.
On YouTube?
Soothing. Yeah, they put a mic all up because they don't care about making money on it.
Well, I was saying on YouTube, you purposely seek that out if you're watching it on YouTube. You watch Joy of Painting on YouTube?
Yes, I just said that.
We've watched a few episodes together as a family. I'm dead serious.
Yeah, it's very calming and soothing. You know, we could all just, you know, watch her. What, Last Man Standing? Is that what you're doing?
I do get kind of pissed off because Bob Ross makes it look so easy.
That's like, true. And if you watch too many, you realize that like he's got his technique and he's doing the same thing every time and using the same colors. You just brush it, tap it, tap it, tap it.
Just gonna push this.
It's all green screen. It's just a green canvas and it's just
it's actually sped up, but to talk that slow it's sped up. He talks really
it's the same slow. Episode every time they just change the picture.
Titanium white, pale blue.
Well, they have a set, like they have 100 clips and they just randomly
put them in.
Yeah. So first he does white this time and then he does some blue. Happy trees last.
He does like those happy trees. Bob Ross aside, Christmas.
Oh, that's what we're talking about, right?
Do you have anything you want for Christmas this year, little boy?
Not really, because when my wife buys me presents, it comes out of my bank account also.
There it is. So,
grown up.
Enjoy being an adult.
I want a pen and, like, ink sort of maybe some sort of art set going on, you know?
Actually, I do too, because I've been trying to find like India ink and a nice little brush and pen for it, but they don't sell it at Joann's.
They sell it at like Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, they sell some India ink.
I never go out to Walmart anymore.
The internet, you know?
No,
so you've checked like one place. I don't sell it anywhere.
Walmart. I've checked two.
The Walmart has better craft supplies than,
than a craft store.
Than a craft store.
In terms of ink, yes. I want to get that pen and ink art set to up my comic book game so I can do other comic books like the great Over the Top Tales available. Probably if you look on the slimjames.com, it's in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Put a link in the description.
I need to get you to sign that.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of comics, that's the whole reason we do this. And
is it?
Christmas comics. Do you ever get any comics for Christmas? Besides from like me, maybe?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say,
no.
Comics for Christmas from you guys, but...
Yeah, I got Marvel vs. DC, the whole set. That's pretty much my one main memory of getting comics that stood out. I probably might have got other stuff, but it was like... Because the whole thing is, you know, even as a youngster, you can't buy me comics because you're just going to give me stuff I don't want.
Yeah.
Here's some garbage. Oh, there's Spider-Man on it. Oh, it's like 85% of the stuff Marvel prints.
Headed at the checkout lane at the grocery store. At the Laverdiers.
Ah, yeah. That was the day. Now you have to go like to a bookstore or someplace special. You have to go out of your way to buy comic books.
I did
this
go to
day
Zimmy's
age.
The other day.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't been there since they reopened.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty nice. They had like a 35% off area and a dollar bin.
Oh, the dollar bin?
Yeah.
Was it any old stuff? Old, cheap
not
stuff?
Not
just
old.
Just
I mean, maybe
more
some
recent back
stuff,
issues.
But right. Mostly more recent.
Yeah, gross. So, you know, the comics aren't immune to the Christmas specials.
No,
you know, I mean, Christmas specials you like to watch? What's your favorite?
Charlie Brown, I guess. Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Mickey one.
Yes, I love the Mickey Christmas Carol.
Yes.
I owned it on DVD. I had to go out of my way to make sure I
we
had
just bought
access
it.
To
see,
it.
See, I only had it on VHS. I never... Because
they never show it.
Yeah.
Or they don't show it enough.
Exactly.
It's always the crappy Rudolph and those.
The Feltmation ones?
Yeah.
I really like the Rudolph
just
ones.
Just watching one
childhood.
Before I came over here that I'd never seen before. It was like Frosty and Rudolph Save Christmas.
Dude,
scary.
Oh.
Is really bad.
Well, my
but followed by the year without a Santa Claus. I like that one.
The year without Christ.
The heat miser.
Yes.
The heat miser and the cold miser.
Cold geyser.
So many misers.
Cold geyser.
Yeah.
The Budweiser.
Yeah, I like the Rudolph one and the Mickey's. Gotta have my Mickey's.
Right, we've watched it multiple times already.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But my sister-in-law, the wife's sister, she loves Frosty the Snowman 2.
Oh, specifically number 2?
Yes.
Oh, the new Toy Story Christmas one is very good, too. It's technically Christmas, but there's not much Christmas to it. So there's a Christmas tree and a little
is
cat.
Is it a full movie?
Angel. No, it's one of the shorts. It's
okay.
Toy Story That Time Forgot.
Yeah.
It's got, like... called Battlesaurus or like Dinosaur Gladiators. They don't know that they're toys because
they got Buzz Lightyear syndrome.
No, because the kid got a video game system and he also got these toys, so he went straight for the video game system and never played with the toys, so they don't know that they have an owner.
That's sad.
Yeah,
they don't know that they're slaves.
No, so they're having like gladiator battles and killing each other, like ripping each other apart.
So does like Wreck-It Ralph and Toy Story take place in the same universe?
No.
Have
you ever seen Wreck-It Ralph?
No.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Video games.
I like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is that video games apparently exist in the Toy Story universe.
Nope.
So is that what goes on in the video games when it's played in the Toy Story universe? Because everything is anthropomorphized in the Toy Story universe. Although, speaking of anthropomorphization, the Lion King, like, most of the animals know what's going on, but apparently those wildebeests are big stupid idiots, because they still act like wild animals.
There's a new Lion King, like, and there was a stampede of gazelle or something, and they were running with them, talking to them, like, telling them to calm the fuck down. Like, why didn't they do that with the wildebeest?
There was no time.
The wildebeest are mentally challenged. Every one of them, they don't understand anything.
Yeah, you wonder, like, can they communicate? Because it seems like all the animals could communicate.
Yes.
So, could you eat an animal that was talking to you? I couldn't.
This is like a it's like a Goofy Pluto situation.
Yeah, but I couldn't eat it. Like if cows started talking, I'd become a vegetarian. I don't know how Donald Duck eats ducks for Christmas dinner.
No, the goose.
Oh, sorry.
The cousin. Yeah. Yeah. Tiny Tim gets a plump Christmas goose from Ebenezer. Apparently, Ebenezer's girlfriend is a time-traveling Daisy Duck. Time-traveling Miss Daisy. All right. But anyway.
Christmas.
Christmas specials. Turner, go.
So I got my top 7 Christmas comic books.
That you own.
Because I only own 7. So I'm going to count them down from 7 to 1.
All right.
I don't think you guys are going to be surprised. No, I couldn't find 3 more.
Nice. No surprises here. I'm going to see them come from a mile away.
So at 7, the worst one I have is The Adventures of Superman, number 462, Homeless for the Holidays.
Woo!
And I'll just give you a quick little sum up of it. Basically, Superman's out as Clark Kent, and he hears something, so he turns into Superman, runs away to go help some construction workers. That was the worst thing that he heard happening, so he had to go help them first. Then he goes to the Daily Planet, where apparently he's quitting. I don't read Superman, so I have no idea where this falls into his timeline, but he's quitting the job, so everyone hates him. But just kidding, they're planning a surprise party. And at the surprise party, he discovers that Alice, the woman who planned the party for him, is homeless and lives in the storeroom at the planet.
Oh.
Yeah. Everyone gets real sad, and they go talk to Perry White, and he writes an editorial, and then it's like 12 pages of an editorial about helping people and being nice. So it's really preachy.
How'd she get away with that?
So
this was the 80s.
Living in.
So he's dreaming of a Perry White Christmas.
Generic beans. Beans with apostrophe S.
Yeah, so, it's just a really preachy
and a box of sugar bombs.
I didn't like it. There's no action. There's no fight. But I guess, you know, that's true. How do you fight homelessness?
You punch homeless people.
In the face.
Or you punch the banks.
Yeah.
Take that, homelessness.
So anyway, that's why it was 7. Mediocre. I don't really read any DC anyway, so it was always doomed to be in the bottom half.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, yeah, but there's a Willow video game right here. With Val Kilmer.
That makes it all worth it.
Yep.
Coming in at 6, The Incredible Hulk, 378. He was gray at this time.
Sure was.
And the cover is extremely misleading. I'm just going to say that out front. Because it says, because you demanded it, the most requested villain of all. And he's fighting Santa Claus. I mean, obviously.
With a crowbar.
Right, so when you see Santa with a crowbar, who do you think it might be?
Turner D. Century.
That's right. I mean, I thought, oh, it's the Wrecker in disguise as Santa Claus.
Yes.
No, it's actually the Rhino in disguise as Santa Claus.
Aww.
Which,
so...
Who demanded that?
The most requested
villain of all?
Yeah, and...
Rhino versus Hulk?
And it's actually interesting, because in the first page, they actually make a note of that back when the Hulk was gray...
Just kidding, nobody actually requested this.
When the Hulk was gray, everyone wanted him to fight Rhino, because it's two big gray guys. But
really?
He never did.
Ooh, gray!
Best you can come up with?
So anyway, the story is Rick Jones goes to an orphanage, and the kids are really feeling bad about it not being alone on Christmas. So he tells them a story that basically is saying, look, you feel bad. Try being a supervillain on Christmas. It's lonely. It's worse than being an orphan. I mean, that's pretty much what he's saying. So well, then we see the Rhino.
Don't be a villain is the easy answer.
You have a choice.
We see the Rhino, and he dresses up as Santa Claus. And then he likes it. He gets hired at the mall to be the Santa Claus. But then he starts getting upset with the kids. He freaks out.
Isn't Rhino one of those guys who, like, you don't know his real name? So, like, they clearly, he's just, like...
Paul Giamatti.
He's just strolling around in a big Rhino suit.
Yeah, and he's obviously faked his papers to apply for this job, just saying.
Well, I think it's the holiday season. They don't really care.
They're just paying him cash.
He wasn't drunk, so they hired him.
Scott Calvin.
But anyway, he freaks out on some kid that's giving him shit.
Santa Claus. That's his character's name.
Yeah, SC.
Yeah.
Scott Calvin.
Just so you know.
So they fight throughout the mall a little bit, and then some woman comes up and is like, hey, you guys should stop fighting because I brought you cookies.
And who are you?
Literally, like, this woman who works at the mall... He's just, like, cool with them fighting and throwing stuff and trashing the place and is making cookies. So she gives them to him. When Rhino figures out there's macadamia nuts, he goes crazy, and they start fighting again.
My only weakness.
I hate macadamia nuts, is literally his quote.
Seriously?
So then they keep fighting until...
Jerk.
Until this little girl comes up crying because Santa Claus is getting hurt. And so they make up and they act like he's really Santa Claus and the Hulk was just a naughty boy and the end.
Yeah, I mean, Hulk's generally vilified anyway. He could take the bullet on this one.
But then it goes back to the orphanage where the kids are like, that was a horrible story. They kick Rick Jones in the shins and that's the real end.
Ah, so it's all make-believe. Yeah, so, even more so than usual.
Right, so because of that make-believe, like, it didn't even really happen. Rick Jones was just bullshitting. And it was number 6. All
right.
Number 5. The Punisher Holiday Special number 2.
Ooh.
This lasted long enough to get 2 of them. There's actually 4 stories in here, and I'm not going to go through all of them because the last 3 are really crappy. But the...
Could rank those in your top 10. Separate stories.
I could have, yeah. Rounded it out. But anyway, it starts out with Microchip. You remember him?
Uh huh.
He's hanging out with Frank and they're talking about Christmas. And
remember that guy?
Sorry. Anyway, Microchip is asking Frank, why do you hate Christmas? And so Frank tells him,
my family's dead.
No.
The end.
No, it gets better.
Jewish.
The stories behind it are insane. So the first one goes back to Nam, of course, where his platoon really wanted a Christmas tree, and apparently they had some at headquarters. And after a lot of persuading, Frank said...
Christmas trees at headquarters?
Frank said, sure, I'll go get you guys a Christmas tree. So he does, and he comes back.
And his family's dead.
No, the whole platoon is dead.
Oh,
everyone died while he was off getting a Christmas tree. So that's one reason why he hates him.
Ah, the Nam.
Then he goes out and he's trying to stop some crime. He almost...
That's nothing to do with Christmas, though.
Christmas tree. He that's was bringing a Christmas tree. That's why they died.
Yeah. Otherwise, so, he would have been able to punish them.
No, then he should love Christmas because he would have died, too.
No, but he doesn't see it that way.
Yes.
Anyway.
He's the best at shooting guns. He would have saved them. That's a superpower.
Then it goes back to the now time, where he's out on the streets and he almost kills a guy for stealing a TV, but stops because the guy's son is with him and is like, please don't kill my dad.
Well, he's a real shitbag of a father to bring his son on a petty larceny.
Then we get another flashback to a Christmas. This is when his family is still alive.
Uh-huh.
So mine is pre-Punisher days.
Okay.
He's out walking with his wife. Some guy comes by, steals her purse, and runs away. What does he do? Pulls out a gun and is about to shoot the guy in the back as he's running away with his wife's purse.
Best at shooting guns.
But then the wife is like, oh no, I don't want to have to spend it down at the station. I want to spend Christmas with you and the kids.
Oh, in front of gyms.
Yeah. But this is before he was the Punisher. He still just wanted to kill
he's a PTSD.
Before the traumatic events, though.
No.
Well, Nam.
Yeah, but...
Is this after Nam?
I thought this was before Nam. Didn't he have the kids, then he went to Nam, and then he came back?
No, I thought he went to Nam, had the kids, then...
And then came back?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they died, like, right after he came back or something.
I mean, I'm not up to date on my Punisher stuff, but I think... They're not mutually exclusive.
Okay. Well, the story wraps up with him tracking down some mafia bosses. While he's there outside their house, he sees the cops show up, and they're like, oh, all these guys are double parked. Oh, it's Christmas. And they just leave. They know it's mob bosses. They know they're bad guys, and they're like, well...
Dirty cops.
They actually say, like, I'd rather they be double parking than whacking someone.
How do you know that's not what they're doing in that party?
Right.
Exactly.
So, Punisher dresses up as Santa Claus, sneaks into the party, kills everyone, Merry Christmas, the end.
There it is.
And then, yeah, there's 3 other tales, but they all suck.
Any even cursory overview of what they are?
So, one of them is about Microchip shopping. The end. That's the whole story. It's like 3 pages.
What do you buy Frank Castle for Christmas? Guns.
One is a silent one where no one speaks. And he basically, Punisher is tracking down this mall Santa bad guy, goes to the boss, kills all the bosses, and then donates their food to the homeless.
Ah, okay.
And the other one, sorry, gotta read this. Oh, the other one didn't even seem Christmassy. It was just wintry. A bunch of redneck bank robbers stole money and kidnapped a girl, and so Frank had to track them in the snow and kill them.
Ah, well, there you go. 'Tis the season.
Yeah. Hey. Moving on. Number 4, Daredevil 229, Pariah is
the name of the story, apparently. This is part of the Born Again storyline. So unlike the others, it really doesn't work as its own story. Uh-huh. Like, you have to read the story.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just sort of sucks. The only real Christmassy stuff is you see Foggy shopping for her gifts.
Uh-huh.
Of course. And Turk and some other bad guy steal a Santa Claus outfit. And then Turk stabs Matt Murdock while dressed as Santa.
Aww.
Because Matt's really, like, he got beat up, so he's really injured and stuff. And then Turk just, stabby stab.
So all you gotta do to make a Christmas story, have somebody guy in a Santa suit, and then show somebody else shopping.
Yeah, that equals Christmas.
Yeah.
Unless you're number three on my list, which is the Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special.
Ah.
Now, I don't know how much of Lobo you guys have ever read.
No.
This is the only one I've ever read. Apparently, there's a lot of alien stuff in Lobo.
Yeah.
He's not really on real Earth. He's on some alien Earth.
Yeah.
I don't even know that stuff. Like,
he says frack a lot, I think.
Yeah, he does say the frack
word. He was big in the 90s.
Well, of course. I mean,
he was
couches,
like,
gratuitous violence,
motorcycle, and chains.
He was a big part of the Marvel versus DC crossover I alluded to before.
That's right. If I ever see the Biz again, that is Simon Bisley, I'll get him to sign this, but I don't know if he'll come back to Boston.
Please come to Boston.
So,
springtime. Oh, yeah.
Turk?
No.
Oh, it's Kingpin.
Yeah, from Daredevil, Kingpin. Working out with his gut.
Skivvies.
So this Lobo one is weird, I guess. There's this couple of parents who are really afraid of their kids, and they actually talk about killing their kids or their kids killing them, and they're really afraid of them around Christmas for whatever reason. And anyway, then a mysterious book appears on their doorstep, so...
The Bible.
No. Well, I guess maybe according to Lobo, but...
Early edition.
It's called the Lobo Xmas Saint.
Remember that show?
Absolutely. There's your CBS Saturday Night Special. Get that and some Due North.
Gary.
You're good to go.
Gary, and then his friend was that guy from Hackers. The bad guy.
Fisher Stevens?
Reboot.
So anyway, they read this story, thinking that they're going to use it on their kids so that the kids will hate Christmas. And the story is all about Lobo getting hired by the Easter Bunny to kill Santa Claus. So Lobo goes to where Santa Claus lives, ends up killing all the elves, all of them, very brutally, to see some violence, because the elves only have pop cork guns. They surround him and all shoot pop. All the corks go pop, 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 pop,
pop. Pop, pop.
And then Lobo uses real guns, so...
Blata, blata. Oh, they get exploded.
Then he finds Santa, and Santa's sort of like a mob boss. He's sort of sitting there like... My roommate's name is Kong, and he is a giant ape. I don't know if that's supposed to mean that Kris Kringle and King Kong are roommates, but there it is. Anyway, Lobo challenges him to a fight. Santa picks shivs as the weapon, only they are humongous shivs.
Shivs.
Right, they call them shivs, but they are machetes. And Lobo kills them. That's the end of that story within the book. Lobo sort of takes over Santa's stockpile, makes weapons, and then bombs all the naughty and nice kids. So
just bombs everybody.
Yeah, he just does.
And it naughty says, and nice.
What does it say? The naughty learn just what happens to those who threaten the main man's peace of mind. And the nice, well, they just learned young what it meant to be innocent victims. So just bombs away for everyone. Then it goes back to those two parents who found the book and read it, and it turns out you can only read the book once, and then it vanishes.
Ooh, that's what happens. Just like the Bible.
So they're now really scared.
That's
so
nobody really knows what it says, and everybody interprets it how they want.
The dad picks up a shotgun, goes upstairs, and kills his kids. And it ends with a panel of Lobo flicking off the readers.
Fourth wall breaking.
But that's my number three, because it's just so crazy.
There you go.
Number two... Getting there.
Isn't it for the last person? Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans. I've never even heard of Damon Wayans and Bruce Willis as the last Boy Scout.
The goal is to survive.
Well, that's a well, good goal to
December
have.
December 13th, there were a screenplay by Shane Black. That's the guy that did Iron Man 3.
There's his pedigree.
Yep.
The last one, or no, second to last, the penultimate comic coming in at number two is The Sin City. And it's called Silent Night. There's actually very few words. Only one panel has the guy talking. And it's about Marv. I don't know if you guys read Sin City or saw the movie. But Marv is Marv's the really big guy that goes, like, he wants to avenge Goldie, that hooker that sleeps with him, and then he goes and fights Elijah Wood, and he ends up killing the Cardinal. So anyway, this is sort of a one-shot off on him. Mm-hmm. And it's just, again, it's all quiet, but he's going to, like, down a back alley, he threatens someone, goes downstairs, pays this woman a lot of money, finds a young girl, then ends up killing the people that were guarding the girl, and he says, in the only line of the book, "Your mama's been asking after you, Kimberly. Let's get you home." And then he takes her home.
Classic Marv.
But it's my number two because I just love the art in this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all just black and white. There's no hatching. There's no shading. It's, I mean, the whole Sin City is like
mostly
that.
Black.
It is mostly black, but I just love that artwork. So that's my number two. And my number one, no surprise, talking GLA, GLXmas, Great Lakes Christmas.
Oh, Big Bertha.
Yeah, Big Bertha. Of course she's Santa Claus.
Take place at the Mall of America.
No.
That's Great Lakes area and Christmas.
There are
lots of shopping.
There are actually a lot of stories in here, so I'll try and go through them quickly.
Uh-huh.
The first one is a Squirrel Girl-centered story called Eggnog, Toilet Paper, and Peace on Earth. And Doorman sends out Squirrel Girl to go get some eggnog and toilet paper. And of course, along the way, wacky hijinks, you betcha.
They ensue.
MODOK is there fighting Dum Dum Dugan.
There you go.
And they're like, oh, thank God, Squirrel Girl's here. She throws a squirrel at MODOK. The end. She just defeated him. So that's cool. She goes back and Dorman's like, "You got the eggnog?
Yeah.
What about the toilet paper?" Oh, shucks. And she leaves and then fights Thanos again. So I told you that Thanos, Squirrel Girl, butting heads constantly because Thanos has the Pyramatrix with the life force of everyone on Earth.
Oh, no.
What's the Pyramatrix? It's a pyramid with a Mobius strip inside it.
There you go.
That's a thing. Second story is about Mr. Immortal and sort of how down he feels at Christmas because his first wife died and then Dinosaur died. And so he's always alone on Christmas because everyone dies except him. Mm.
Jesus, he died for us.
He died for us. Spoiler. But he came back. So that's
a big deal.
I mean, that's okay. They're fighting, the team is actually fighting Dr. Tannenbaum, who is their arch enemy. He always tries to ruin Christmas.
Ah.
This time, his diabolical scheme is that he has living, evil Christmas trees.
Oh, my God.
But don't worry. Mr. Immortal finds out how to stop them. You just decorate the shit out of them so they're too heavy to move around.
There it is.
Yep. Just
tie them up with Christmas lights.
No. Don't burn the trees. Decorate the shit out of them.
And they have to be specifically Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
You can't just put heavy things
on. No. You gotta use tinsel, lights.
Like really light.
Bubbles.
Light.
Yeah, there's crystal
tinsel
balls.
And thin glass balls.
Then we get a little segue almost, I guess. It's just a 2-page grasshopper.
You forgot about the heaviest Christmas decoration, popcorn on a string.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember Grasshopper. He was the GLA member who only lasted like 2 pages in the actual book because he put on a suit and died.
Oh, no.
But there's a new grasshopper, and so this is sort of introducing him, like, hey. Anyway, Grasshopper gets like his little intro, and it really does seem like, hey, maybe they're going to use Grasshopper. No, they're never going to use Grasshopper. So then we see a little Doorman story.
There it is.
The best, obviously, Doorman, who is really like an angel of death. He, when people die, he visits them and helps them transport from one plane to the next.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyway, he has to go see his dad, who's a disapproving sort of father. Not unlike Bill Cosby.
You don't see superheroes who have parents that are alive, you know? Everyone's an orphan.
So, in this story, he connects with his dad, they talk a bit, he's trying to be like, hey, Dad, I'm a superhero. Aren't you proud of me? And his dad's like, yeah, whatever. But then it turns out his dad was dead, and he's there just to pick up his soul. And his dad's all suddenly impressed, like, hey, my son's the Grim Reaper. My son's the Angel of Death. This is the best. What do they pay you?
Does Thanos try to have sex with him?
No, not yet.
If he finds out.
But along the way to taking his dad to the next plane of existence, which he does on skis for whatever reason, that's what he travels on when he's the Angel of Death. He sees that new grasshopper, the one that we just saw a couple pages again ago. He did a maximum jump that launched him into outer space where he died.
What are you doing?
He dies.
He can jump that high?
Yeah. Dormian also sees Santa Claus, because when he's the Angel of Death, you can also see Santa Claus.
Because Santa Claus is dead?
I don't know.
He's not living.
Then we get another story. It's Deathurge versus Tippy Toe, where Deathurge is like an Angel of Death squirrel, and he's trying to kill Squirrel Girl, Squirrel Tippy Toe, and it's basically a Tom and Jerry type escapade. Foolish traps, big things, explosives, and who gets caught in the middle of it all? Mr. Immortal ends up getting piranhas, mongoose, bear traps, a spear through him, a snake around his neck, pretty much, you know, all those bad ways to die. And Deathurge ends up not killing Tippy Toe, so he has to remain as a squirrel, I guess. Whatever.
Good old Deathurge.
Then we go back again to everyone where they see a comet zooming off, and they're like, oh, a shooting star, how nice. And Dormin's like, that's actually the body of Grasshopper burning up as it enters the atmosphere. Happy holidays! The end. And then, of course, there's a bonus Flatman action figure where he might say things like, let's go, team. That's flat-tacular, and my favorite, I'm not Mr. Fantastic.
I get that a lot.
But, yeah. So those are my top seven.
That one's definitely the
best. That's obviously the best.
Obviously.
So, you know, that was a good list, Turner.
Sorry, yeah, I spoke a lot more in that time than I have in all the other What If podcasts put together.
Exactly. This is your chance to shine. May the world keep on turning. Whoa.
This little light of mine.
But, you know, I think figured we'd,
Hey, so can you play with Hogs for a bit? We're almost done.
So I figured we'd close with a dramatic reading from Marvel. What the? Number 10, the Xmas special.
Is that Red Skull as Santa up in the corner there?
Yes. He's German. So is Santa. Santa Claus.
What about, what's the Krampus?
Yeah.
That's German, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't Red Skull dress up as Krampus?
Maybe he is. You don't know him.
You're right, I don't.
This is I'll Be Doomed for Christmas. I believe it's art by Scott Lobdell.
Oh, yeah, Lobdell.
Yeah, him too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's written by John Byrne. It has very brief credits, so I'm just making assumptions.
Yeah, I didn't
here.
Mention any of my authors and illustrators.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through his lands, Doom's subject slept soundly in the palm of his hand. A long stocking was hung by the chimney with flair. As always, alone, though he didn't care, when suddenly clang, 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 clanged through the air. My intruder alarm! 'Tis madness! Who would dare? Up to the rooftop, through the castle he sped. Visions of battle danced through his head. Gasp! Saint Nick! What are you doing here?
It's my job, Dr. Doom, one evening a year. Now instead of being naughty, wouldn't you mind being nice? You can start by prying my head from this vice.
He's trapped in a bear trap. Then he passed out from pain, wounded, not dead. And from a red-nosed reindeer came, nice going, Tinhead. Moments later, you know in your heart what you must do. Take my place, Victor. The world is counting on you. Doom pondered, and then asked, what's in it for me? I'll grant you your heart's desires, no matter what it might be. Soon Doom appeared once again on his roof, startling the reindeer from antler to hoof. Prepare yourselves, creature. Away we will zoom. I'm the new monarch of Christmas. I am Santa Doom. Hoo-hoo, ha-hee, ha-ha-ho-ho-ho. If you're all done laughing, perhaps, can we go? The reindeer were laughing at poor Santa Doom. Brace yourselves, beasts. I'm using my sled. Thanks for the warning, Snicker. Go right ahead. Well, I have no choice. I'm flat on my back, Santa said. I'm sure he'll do. Ah,
ah, ah.
He's never choking. As the evening wore on, Doom found himself in the States, wondering if he'd be reimbursed for mileage rates.
Before he knew it, he wasn't paying attention. Doom alit on the roof of the Avengers' new mansion. I'd better be careful. I had better beware. Who knows what security measures could be brought to bear? It's Christmas Eve, you loony. No need to pause. They at least knew to expect Santa Claus. Then he squeezed down the chimney, making a mess of the bricks. Maybe I should have learned some of St. Nick's size tricks.
Or get pimp articles.
Oh, the pimp size tricks.
Yeah. Or, Tim Allen in the Santa Claus doesn't have size tricks. He just turns stuff into...
He just, this chimney just,
Yeah.
Sucks him down in there.
Okay? You know. Their tree was a beauty. It lit up the room. Can you believe he was speechless? He? Santa Doom?
I cannot.
Can my eyes believe this wondrous sight? Do they really buy gifts for their foes that they fight? Now I'm angry. This makes me sore. I've never gotten a gift from the Fantastic Four. Doom's getting away. What should we do? We'll follow from afar. We'll keep him in view. He's landing at the fourplex. Should we attack? Let's wait till we see what he has in his sack. It's Captain America and Quasar.
Oh, Quasar.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Quasar. Ain't Christmas grand? What can I do to lend you a hand? Speedball, be quiet, you bouncing young pup. Let me give you a hand. Let me help you shut up.
Damn Speedball.
Did he, punch him when he says that? Let me give you a hand?
No, he covers his mouth.
Oh.
Doom delivered the presents, not making a sound. Ahem, came a voice. He slowly turned around. Reed, Sue, Ben, Johnny, no need to fight. Merry Christmas to all. Ouch, that thing has some right... I think the thing punched him. Oh, that thing has some right. Wow. That's a confusing that's a confusing sentence out of context. They overreacted. He'd committed no crime. You get the impression it's clobbering time.
Wisecracking Rudolph.
Several miles away, Doom landed in a courtyard. He'd admit he landed quite hard. Give it up, Doom. Don't make us get rough. I tried to be good, but enough is enough. Doom had it up to here with this Christmas stuff. If no more presents were delivered, that was just tough. In the heat of the battle, it's surprising they heard the sound of a single, soft-spoken word. Santa? She asked, her eyes bluer than blue. Why are those heroes beating the tar out of you? In a moment, the courtyard started to fill with child after child, all looking quite ill. He learned in the eyes of those brave girls and boys, these heroes are my helpers, to help out, pass out the toys. For one magic moment, they were all of one heart. Doom truly enjoyed playing his part. He held her aloft, wanting nothing to harm her, and the child didn't flinch from his cold, lifeless armor. I love you, Santa, she whispered as he held her near. Did the King of Latveria fight back a tear? Several weeks later, I'm well enough to leave, Santa. Thanks again for your help on Christmas Eve. Know you this, Santa, I have made amends, and even though we may be parting as friends, when next we meet, it will be as foes. Nothing will save you, not even your ho-ho-hos. I'm Santa Claus, silly. I'm no supervillain. This was fun, Victor. We should do it again.
What was fun? Getting caught in a bear trap and choked in?
Yeah,
laying in a bed motionless for 3 weeks? Oh, one more thing before I retire. There's still the matter of your heart's desire. Thank you anyway. I've been taken care of. Then Santa departed in the air up above. I gave him no gift. I wonder what he meant. I'm sure I don't know. That's one twisted gent. Rudolph with one last zinger. What was his heart's desire? We'll never tell. But suffice it to say, all's well that ends well. And Dr. Doom is smiling with a teddy bear. To Christmas to all, and to Christmas good night.
To Christmas.
To Christmas.
So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com, the WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?